Nothing going to be added to it, nothing taken away from it. What he said, he said. What he's written, that's a gospel. And man just needs to fall in line with it and quit trying to add to it, take away from it, play around with it, toy with it, reinterpret it, write new interpretations and new Bibles. We need to take the Bible we got and live it.
Amen.
The Bible that we got and live it. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And let's stand together this morning for the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 1, we've got about this verse, verse 16, and then verse 17, so we'll have two or three more times of reading this chapter, okay? Verse chapter number 2 and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the thorns. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of His precious Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. I thank You for this passage of Scripture, Lord, and for the text that You've given me to expound to Your people today. I pray that You'll give me grace in my heart, that You'll give me power in my soul, and God's strength in my physical body. Help those parts, Lord, that are weak, and we'll thank You for doing that. I pray that You'll save some old sinner by the grace of God today. Lord, may the Holy Ghost breathe through this place today and give us an understanding, Lord, of this text and help us, I pray, to live our lives to the glory of God. I want to honor You. I want to magnify You in this service. I want to honor You, Lord, both in life and in death. Grant it to me, I pray, that it might be that way. And bless Your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Look at verse number 16 this morning for just a little while, if you will. And I'll try to get you out so you can get your roast before it burns too bad today. He says that in verse number 16, my beloved is mine and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies. My beloved is mine, and I am his. If God will help me this morning, I want to preach for a little while on a marriage knot that won't slip. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. I'm glad, thank God, that I have entered into a marriage agreement. The knot has been tied tightly, and it will not slip. My beloved is mine. What assurance, what faith on the part of the church. My beloved is mine, and I am His. What comfort that sends to our heart to know that He is ours, and that He belongs to us, and that we belong to Him. My beloved is mine, and I am His. You know, I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to, that many marriages today never make the grade. They never make the grade. I read, and I shared this with you earlier, but I'll say it again. I read in the Messenger newspaper some weeks ago that in Hopkins County in 1999, there were 489 marriage license applied for. In the same year, over 300 marriages were annulled or divorced by the courts. Now, I'm telling you, friend, there is something lacking when these marriages fail to make the grade. I said just a few weeks ago that a preacher that we all know, his wife has picked up and gone. She has left him, found her another love. I'm glad, thank God, that on September the 13th, 1970, that I found me a love, and my love found me, and our love affair and our marriage life, my friend, is for all time and eternity. I don't know about you, but when I got saved by the grace of God, He tied the knot real tight. I'm not looking to depart from my God, and I know my God is not going to depart from me. I have entered into a marriage that, my friend, is more blessed than my tongue could ever tell to you this morning. I want to say I find no fault in my Lord Jesus this morning. No, sir. But the marriage union as a child of God, as Jesus, will never slip. If you are truly saved by the grace of God this morning, you are bound for the promised land. I'll tell you this old thought that a man can fall from grace and lose what he has. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's no divorce courts in heaven. Oh, no, there are no judges in heaven to set over men to annul or divorce us from the marriage that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have got a marriage agreement, my friend, that is bound by the eternal Word of the living God, and it cannot be altered. And by the way, our bridegroom is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we entered into that marriage agreement with our Lord, it was for time and eternity, and it is bound by a covenant of blood, my friend, that shall never lose its power. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. He hath given Himself for me. And He hath given Himself to me. He not only died on the cross for me and gave His life for me, but He gave His life to me. Did you get a hold of that now? He not only gave His life for me, He gave His life to me. That is to say that everything that He possesses is mine. My beloved is mine, and I am His. And everything that He possesses belongs to you and I today. I'd say this by way of introduction, men. Everything that you have belongs to that little woman you got. I'm going to tell you that old message, what's mine is mine, and what's hers is mine, and what's mine is still mine, is out of hell. It's out of hell. I'm going to say it again. It's out of hell. Brother, everything that you have belongs to her. In fact, my friend, it ought to be your desire to give everything you have to that little woman you married. She is the apple of your eye, the pride of your life, the love of your soul, and everything that you have, you ought to desire to give back to her. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, our Lord held nothing back from us. He gave Himself for me, and He gave Himself to me. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Brother Jerry. His heart is set upon me. His heart is set upon me. He is always careful about me. And He is concerned for me. Has it ever occurred to you that Christ, your husband, your bridegroom, is concerned about you? Oh yeah, His eye watches every move that you make. Amen. He knows, my friend, when your heart is pining. He knows when you have been disappointed. He knows when you are discouraged. He knows when you are lonely. He knows when you are broken. He knows when you are bruised. And He cares about you, my friend. Now, I'm going to tell you where the problem's at. We let the stinking devil plant thoughts in our mind that would deprive us, my friend, of the relationship that Christ really wants to have with His church. Somebody said, oh, He don't plant any thoughts in your mind. He don't. I'm going to tell you, you're a fool if you believe that. You're a fool. And if you laugh at me, I may. Well, you can laugh, but don't laugh but once. I was sitting in that living room this morning and getting ready to preach, and the old devil jumped up on my shoulder and started bothering me about my relationship with my wife. He said, well, you old feeble man, you. He said, your legs are getting weak. Your voice is about gone. Said, your mind don't think like it ought to think no more. And said, you call yourself a preacher and a husband and a man of God. Said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Said, that woman you've been married to all these years is going to ditch you one of these days for somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, a thought went through my mind and my heart broke. My Miss Hall was standing in front of the mirror in her bed, in our bathroom, fixing her hair. Son, I hit that bathroom where she was, and she just happened to be looking at the back of it. And when I walked in, she could tell there's a problem. I lip-locked her, buddy. Amen. Put my arms around her and said, baby, you still love me, don't you? And she said, why, you know I love you. Now, here's the thought that I had. Are you ready for this? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we don't have them thoughts. Don't you tell me that lie this morning. But let's get down there. It's where the rubber meets the road. Oh, I'm telling you that our marriage to one another, the devil will feed us a lie today. And in our marriage relationship to our Lord, He'll feed us another lie. Now, here's what He told me. I asked him here, and I'll have to tell you what He told me and what I asked her. I said, sweetheart, I said, you wouldn't take me in a wheelchair and slam me up against a wall, would you? She said, why, no. And then in my mind, I could see her grabbing a wheelchair and me feeble and unable to take care of myself and just ramming me into a wall and mistreating me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to me this morning? Brother, I'm telling you that in our marriage relationship, our husband will not in no way mistreat us. He is careful for you, and He cares for you, and He loves you, and He married you, and He loved you before He married you, and He made plans to stick around through all thick and thin. Hallelujah to God. Marriage knocked and won't slip.
Amen.
My beloved is mine, and I'm his.
Amen.
I'm his. I have given up myself to him.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to shock some of you in a minute with a text that I'm going to be preaching from. I don't believe it, but I'm going to be preaching from it. I give up myself to him. I am at his disposal. I am obligated to observe whatever he enjoins me to do. I has given himself for me. Therefore, I have given myself for him. All that he has, my friend, is mine. But I've got news for us today. All that we have is his also. Now, I'm going to tell you where us Baptists have problems. We want everything he's got. But we fail in giving everything that we have back to him. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. That is possessive in both cases. He possesses me, I possess him. All he has is mine, and all that I have belongs to him also. I'm obligated to him. Between Christ and his church, there is a mutual affection. He is well pleased with his portion. Somebody said, how can it be? I don't know. I don't know how he's pleased with you and I, but he is. He did not have to come to where you were and save you. He didn't have to offer you the marital vows. He did not have to espouse you unto himself. I'm here to tell you that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen and a royal generation, a peculiar people, my friend, that God set his affection on, and Christ delivered us from the curse of sin and made us God's child. You better believe that, buddy. And I don't know why he's pleased with us, but he is. He's pleased with what he's got. He didn't take it like a bad piece of apple pie and push it away from the table.
Amen.
By the way, we are his gift from the Father.
Amen.
The Father gave you and I to him.
Amen.
Do you think that our Lord would have the audacity to refuse a gift from God the Father to God the Son? No, buddy.
Amen.
We're God's gift
Amen.
To the Son. Amen to God. And he is well pleased with our portion. And I want to say I'm well pleased with mine. I find no fault in him, brethren. No, sir, like the psalmist said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I have in heaven but him? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. Well, I tell you, he is my portion in this life. Hallelujah to God. Give me Jesus. You can have everything else, but give me Jesus. He is a worthy, lovely, beautiful, gracious portion that God has given to you and I. Amen to God. Are you listening to me now? These words, listen now, are expressive of a near union that there is between Christ and his church. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. Oh, what a union that there is between Christ and his church. May I still say by way of introduction, it is a personal union. That is to say, the whole person of Christ as the God-man is united to the believer. Do you get what I said? Everything that he is as the God-man belongs to us. God in his eternality, wisdom belongs to us. God in his possessions belongs to us as God. But as the God-man, he is our great high priest, my friend, that interceded for us. He is our King. He is our Lord. Everything that he is God-man belongs. belongs to you and I. And then the whole person of the believer, body, soul, and spirit, belongs to Him. I'm going to tell you something I wrote down in my Bible while Brother Doug was teaching Sunday school this morning that just about tore me up on the inside when God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart in Sunday school. And it like tore me up, Brother Jerry. Amen to God, and I hope it'll tear some of you up when I tell you what it said, too. It is not only a personal union, it's a spiritual union. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We are joined unto Him. There is a blessed union. My beloved is mine, and I am His. And it is not a carnal, fleshly union that we have. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And we all, by one Spirit, have been baptized into one body. Bless your heart. Oh, we are a spiritual body. You better believe that. I want to say it's a vital union. A vital union. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And without me you can do nothing. I'm going to tell you, Brother Doug said it right in Sunday school. He said, He is everything, and we are absolutely nothing but dung. I'm going to tell you, that is a great truth that God would love for humanity to realize that we are nothing no more than a pile of rotten, dried up cow manure in the presence of God, buddy. Somebody said, oh, I'm a somebody. Yeah, you're a somebody going to hell, but I am a nobody going to glory. Wrinkle our noses up in the air and act like we get somebody or something. Most Baptists, son, if they didn't have an umbrella in a heavy rainstorm, would drown when they went outside. Cocky, arrogant, proud, braggadocious, look at me. I'm God's gift to everybody around me. I'm going to tell you what we are, buddy. Weak, frail, feeble, huh? Oh, yeah, finite, temporal, clay, come from the dirt, from the ashes we come from, and to the ashes we're going back to. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, while we're living in this life, our beloved belongs to us and we're His. And let us glorify our God while we have our being and are able to. In body, soul, and spirit, let us glorify Him. Are you listening? It's a vital union, buddy. Without Him, you can do nothing. You couldn't even tie your shoe. Somebody said, oh, preacher, it's not all that bad. Let him just reach out with his little finger and touch your body. Just let him touch your body. Somebody said, oh, God, don't do it. Oh, don't tell me, don't. God giveth life and God takes it away. Oh yeah, blessed be the name of the Lord. That little old body you got, my friend, God gave you. If He gave you one with muscles that big, son, I'm telling you, God give them to you. If He made you short and fat, God made you short and fat. He made you tall and skinny. God made you tall and skinny. He made you strong. God made you strong. Weak. God made you weak. Amen. Beautiful, ugly, homely, whatever you are, God made you that way. That's right. I want to say it's an indissolvable union. Huh? That's right. It's not going to be dissolved. This union, this marriage, buddy, my beloved is mine and I'm His. Oh, I'll tell you, that's a marriage knot that will not slip. Amen. No, sir. No, sir. It will not be dissolved, annulled, or divorced. And by the way, I want to lay this in the shade while I'm right there. Is everybody listening to me? Moses gave a writing of divorcement. But from the beginning, it was not so. God made them male and female, and what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Moses gave it for the hardness of the heart, my friend. And I'm not criticizing divorced people. I'm trying to spare some of you that have one marriage. I'm just telling you that it is not a God. You can like that or lump it, buddy. It don't make no difference to me. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something else. God has got the power to establish the rules that He puts upon His offices as preachers and deacons and things. And divorced and remarried, my friend, is one of them. He said, you can't be it if you're that. Somebody said, oh, that sins under the blood. But I'm telling you, God said He's got the power to forgive you of that and save you, but yet deprive you of those two offices in the church. Well, somebody said, God can't do that. Don't tell me God can't do that. God's God, neighbor. God's God. And now somebody said, how is that? That thing is the Spirit on Christ's side and it's faith on our side. By the Spirit, my friend, by the Spirit, He has secured us, but there also our faith must lay hold of the promises of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Somebody said, well, what about these people that make professions of faith and fall away? They are lost. Out of all that my Father giveth me, I have lost none, save the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. You better mark that down in your little black book, neighbor. He ain't lost any. Now, I want to say, I'm about to get to the message. I think I have got there. That there are mutual obligations. This is really what I want. I'm going to preach tonight on His obligations to us. But I want to preach on 3 points, and that's all I've got on our obligations to Him. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we are His, we are obligated to Him. We have been bought with a price, and we're not our own. We are obligated to Him. Let us not, don't let us sit on the church pews, friend, and think that all we got to do is just hitchhike our way into heaven. Son, I'm going to tell you, hitchhiking and hobos ain't going to get the job done. God ain't looking for hitchhikers and hobos. God's looking for some homesteaders. Huh? We're obligated to Him. If He brought you out of the pit, well, if He's given you eternal and everlasting life, then if He married you, my friend, then there are mutual obligations one to the other. Now, I want to say to us as married couples, we have, as married couples on this earth, mutual obligations to one another. That wife is obligated to that man. That man's obligated to that woman. For life. I said for life, honey. Somebody said, oh, how can they get out of it? You can't. No, sir. You can't be right with God. I say this, it is a serious thing to say I do. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, neighbor. It is a serious thing in spiritual realms when Christ offers that golden scepter to say I do to Him. It is a serious thing that lays obligations upon you and I as a child of God that must be carried out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're obligated to Him. You better believe I'm His and He is mine. He has bought me out of the slave market of sin, purchased me with His own blood, went to the garden and sweat great drops of blood, bore in His body the marks of a cat of nine tails, had His head pierced with a crown of thorns, laid an old rugged cross upon His shoulders, and walked all the way up on Calvary's hill, and voluntarily laid His life down on the cross. Now I'm telling you, my friend, when you bow your knee at the foot of the cross and say, I do, and enter into a marriage agreement with the Son of God, there is obligations laid upon you. I might ought to preach it in just a down-to-earth way, but I've got a few other things I want to say. If we're His bride, we're obligated to keep a clean house.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. That is right. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about we're obligated to keep our hearts right and clean before God. If you think He is going to live in a filthy, nasty environment in your bosom, you are nuttier than a fruitcake, buckwheat. No, sir. We're obligated to that. Keep her clean. Be holy, for I am holy. Purify yourself, for the Lord is coming. Oh, yeah, we're obligated to Him to keep His house swept and garnished, my beloved. I'm talking about from choking Him to death with ragweeds all the way down. Amen. Keeping our mind clean, our heart clean, our life clean. I'm obligated to Him. What man among you would want to live in a filthy house? I'm obligated, ladies, to Him to keep my life pure and holy and clean. What about the confessions that were made during the meeting? Oh, somebody said, preacher, they were just there and they had to come out. I'm going to tell you why they come out. Because your husband put his foot down in your soul and said, I refuse to live in a filthy house any longer. Straighten her out, get her right. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. He likes to live in a house that is decorated and ornamented with His grace. Hang some things on the walls of your heart. Are you listening this morning? That's right. Hang some ornaments of grace on the walls of your heart. And amen. And let Him decorate the house that He dwells in. Oh, yeah. And this, by the way, this body of clay is His temple that He lives in. Oh, I tell you, my friend, we ought to keep this body of clay livable and looking right for God. I might as well bear down there and preach a little while. I'm telling you, He doesn't want us walking around in these old shabby clothes. Wrinkled, look like some of them hadn't been ironed, bless God, in 10 years. Look like we've slept in them. Oh, no, God's not in that mess. This body of clay is His tabernacle. And it ought to be ornamented and beautified. He lives here. It's His castle, His dwelling place, His home. I'm going to tell you something else. We ought to keep our hair right. You ladies ought to keep your hair right. I'm talking about, getting the grease out of it, fixing it up, making ourselves presentable and looking right. Somebody said, oh, you want to paint up like a whore? No, I just want us to be clean and right. Hey, get some of them old baggy, raunchy men's clothes off of you you're wearing and dress like a lady. He lives there, ladies. And by the way, you men, us men the same way. Let's get our hair cut right, put on some right kind of clothes. Spiff up just a little bit every now and then. Somebody said, I don't like it. I'm telling you, I know the flesh don't like it. It's as rebellious as the devil. But spiff it up, son. Somebody said, why? You are a castle. I see some of you kind of frowning. Read your Bibles. For this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's two temples mentioned there. The house of God's one and the body, the temple of the body is the other one. Huh? That's right. I'm going to tell you something. I like to be right, boy. When I get out of bed in the mornings, I like to wash, clean up, put on the halfway decent looking clothes and put my teeth in my mouth. I better hurry. My time's already gone. We're obligated to Him. Three things, I'll mention three areas we're obligated in, and we'll go to the house. And I don't know why God had me to put this first one down, but I'm going to preach it. Bless God. God gave it to me. We're obligated to follow Him. We're obligated to follow Him. Now, I want everybody to listen. She said, "My beloved is mine and I am His." That signifies or declares that this bride has great faith in the Lord Jesus. Great faith. And faith is not blind. We do not follow Him blindly, my friend. Faith has her eyes wide open and follows the Lord wherever He leads us with our eyes open. I'm going to say this in love, best way I know how. But a fellow got up over Brother Griffiths and preached over there on, I believe it was on Thursday morning. And he preached on Noah getting in the ark and following God. And he preached on Abraham in Genesis 12 going out and following God. He preached on somebody else getting in a boat and going, on Abraham going up on the mountain and following God and something else. And he said they followed God. Even though they did not know where they were going, they still followed God. I've never heard anything so asinine in all my life. Don't tell me that a child of God that is following God by faith does not know where he's going. Noah being warned of God, my friend, built an ark to the saving of his soul and his entire household. Noah knew quite well what he was doing. Amen. God told Abraham, "Go out to a country I'll show you." He knew where he was going. How in the world did he get there if he didn't know where he was going? When he went to offer Isaac, he told his servant, "You wait here while the lad and I go yonder and worship and come again." He knew exactly where he was going. Son, I'm telling you, you may not know where you're going this morning, but I know where I'm going, friend. I am not following my Lord blindly. Oh, yes. Now, look here. There may be a few dark spots and shadows in between here and there. But, son, I know where I'm going. I'm heaven bound, thank God, with a hammer down. Saved by the grace of God. I've been married to the Lord Jesus. He's prepared a mansion in heaven for us. And we're on our way to mansions fair, my friend. I know where I'm going. The Bible said about old Abraham. Said, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, that proves that he didn't know where he was going." Oh, but he went out by promise, for he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Oh, yeah, he is looking for that city, my friend. I want to ask you, what are you looking for this morning? Maybe he might have had me to put this little thought in there. Maybe you ought to put this little thought in there for you preachers that are here. Huh? The Bible said about Caleb in Numbers 14:24 that Caleb got to go into the promised land because he followed God fully. I don't read in there where God ever called him to preach, made him a deacon or anything else. He just followed God fully. I want to ask something. Are you following Him this morning? By faith, are you following God? Or are you sitting still? I'm obligated. I'm here to tell you I love you this morning. But if the Holy Ghost gave me marching orders to saddle up and move out to wherever God called me, I'd buckle her in, buddy, and take wings and fly away. I'm obligated to serve the Lord Jesus, whether it be here, there, or anywhere else. And I'm going to tell you something, young preachers. You young preachers better get your hearts right with God. Because I'm telling you one thing I know about preaching. I don't know much, but this I know. That if God has called you to preach, He ain't going to let you sit on a pew forever. Amen. And if you've got your eyes on this pulpit, honey, you might as well roll up your sleeves and get ready to fight. God gave me this a long time ago. Amen. This ain't yours, it's mine. Amen. You're going to have to find yourself one somewhere else. God said, somebody said, Brother Hall, what if God leads me to Africa? Son, has God called you to preach?
Don't, hey, don't back up now. Start acting like them boys down in Greenville. God's called me to preach as long as it's in Greenville County, South Carolina. You stinking hypocrite. God ain't called you a bit more than nothing.
Amen.
Old Abraham went out following God. Paul followed God. Peter, James, and John followed God. The disciples followed God. We're obligated to. He'll never lead you into danger. He'll never lead you into desolate places. My friend, He'll lead you beside the still waters in the grassy pastures, green pastures. He'll let you lay down beside the still waters. I'm telling you, God will never lead you wrong. We're obligated to follow Him. We're obligated to follow Him. My beloved is mine and I'm His. We are obligated to follow Him. That's right. I want to say number two. And I'm trying to hurry. Boy, I'm telling you what, I can't believe this, but it's a fact. You wait till I... These men will know exactly what I'm talking about when I mention this statement. We are obligated to be faithful in our stewardship. I couldn't believe what you taught on this morning, Brother Doug. Because I've got it down here to use as an illustration. Matthew 25. What about our stewardship? Brother Doug done a fine job, but I feel like I've got to carry it right on through. You know what? Hey, you know what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4:2? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, Paul was talking about stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Whatever God, hey, I have got to be faithful in whatever God tells me to relate it to you, buddy. I used to be afraid to get around preachers, big name preachers, and I was afraid to preach. They was all better preachers than I was, and still are. And I was afraid to get around them and preach. But son, I was praying up there in that little old house on Timmons Lane one day, and the Holy Ghost said, "Son, what I have shown you in secret, proclaim it on the housetops."
Amen.
God said, "The mysteries that I give you, preach it." Now I'm telling you, friend, that as a steward of God, we are required to be found faithful. Well, oh, hammer, I think it's getting ready to fall. That scripture that Brother Doug said, "For the kingdom of heaven," in chapter 25, verse 14, "is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." His servants, his goods, this is what I've got, here she is. And he distributed to them every man according to his several ability. Buddy, God knows that what we're able to do and what our abilities are, and oh yes, and He will distribute to every one of us those things that were those talents that we have the ability to perform. And that dude that buried his was a downright, low-down, egg-sucking dog that didn't want to work and serve God. He was going along for the ride, but he didn't love God. Now somebody said, I can't do nothing for God. You deny the Bible. He gave to every servant his goods and divided them according, in verse number 15, to their several ability. Now, I'm in chapter 15 of chapter 25 of Matthew, if you want to look there. And verse 15. Now, I'm going to preach this. You might as well buckle down your hatches, buddy. Huh? He entrusts us according to our ability. Whatever God has given you, He has entrusted it to you to take that talent and use it in the service of God, whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you, when God gave me that arm, He gave it to me to jack slap folks with. He gave me that foot to kick my youngins in the backside when they wasn't doing right. Help them along a little bit. But whatever His goods. Now, He's not going to give you bad goods. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I've got just a little singing talent, but I'm afraid to use it." Hey! Go bury it. You know what he said about that guy that buried it? He said, depart from me, thou wicked and unprofitable servant. He said, take him and cast him into outer darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, I have a hard, hard time believing that folks are really born again and saved by the grace of God, and we're putting the rubber right on the road right now. I have a hard time believing folks are really married to Christ when they're lazy and negligent with the goods that He entrusts you with. When you're too sorry to take what He has given you, you had nothing. When I was a young man, I couldn't even get up in front of a sixth grade school class in Henryville Elementary School and sing Mersey, Dozy, Dose, and Little Lambsy, Divey, Kibbledy, I, wouldn't you too? They wanted me to sing When the Moon Shines. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, when God called me to preach, buddy, all together, different story. Y'all want to hear me sing Mersey, Dozy, Dose, and Little Lambsy, Divey, or Moonshine, Dozy? What do you want to hear me sing today? I don't care. Sweet Rosie O'Grady, bless God, it don't make no difference to me. Huh? Amazing, that's right, Amazing Grace. Look here. Son, I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm not a bit afraid to get up in front of people. Somebody said you ain't preaching very well this morning. I'm taking the talent I've got and doing the best I can with it. Bless your heart. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you lazy devils in here, I'm about to get sick and tired carrying my load and yours too. Come on, arm. Come on, leg. Come on, eyes. What's God given you? He has entrusted you with, my friend. What spiritual ability? Forget your stinking money and your houses and your automobile. What kind of a spiritual gift has God endowed you with? You got the gift of gab? Witness to somebody with it. If you've got a loving, kind voice and a friendly spirit and a good attitude and a smile, tell some old sinner about God. If you're reserved and withdrawn back, find some old sinner that's withdrawn and pulled back and shy and tell him about God. Can you sing? Have you got any kind of a voice? What's wrong with the choir? Are you listening to me? He has entrusted you, my friend, with those talents. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Doug said it, I'm going to say it again. How we manage what He gives us will determine our rewards in heaven. Oh, that one said, I'll give you five. Said, Lord, you give me five talents, and here you are. I've took them and used them and benefited. And Lord, I've doubled them. Here's 10 of them altogether. I've done. Man, I'm telling you, what a servant. Amen. Praise God. He took that servant there, gave him five talents. He probably gave him a talent, first of all, to clean out the bathroom commodes. Somebody said, oh, it ain't much of a talent. Oh, I don't know about that. I've got to use that thing every now and then. Then he may give him a talent to take up the offering. Then he may give him a talent, you know, to sing in the choir. Then he might give him a talent to sing special music. Then they might have taught him how to play the piano. I can remember when my wife was playing piano and two of my brothers was beating and thrashing on two old guitars singing that old song that I green-dotted in there, Brother Nolan's. I can't believe it. I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave. They sung it to Brother Nolan. Ask her to sing it today. Somebody said, oh, I can't believe Sister Hall ever sang it. I'm telling you, she sang it! And jive your head just a little bit. But I'm telling you, God gave her a talent and she's trying to develop it for God's glory. Now look here, there's them five talents. My goodness, now we got them playing the piano. What about next? God gives them another talent. God makes them a deacon. Put in, trust them in the church to be a deacon. To visit the widows. Visit those that are in the hospital. Be the preacher's right-hand man. To be the preacher's guard dog. To stand by his back if any egg suckers try to come up behind him. Huh? Be his guard dog. Makes him a deacon. Oh, but that fella ain't going to stop there. No, sir. God calls him to preach. Lets him teach Sunday school. Puts him over in a nursing home trying to tell. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't tell them old folks over there with their tongues hanging out and carrying on, going to sleep. Hey, who? What's the need of going over and telling them? I'm going to tell you what's the need of telling them. They're lost! They're dead and going to hell! I'm going to tell you, most young preachers, I know that's God. I want to preach, but I want behind the big man's place. You may not have the several ability yet to get behind the big man's place. Well, now we over there preaching. We over there preaching. Lo and behold, God sends that man out from the church. And he starts pastoring his own work. And that's good. But with pastoring that work, God gives him the ability to know the hearts of people and to try to love people and try to help people. And now he's gained five more talents. And when the Lord comes, he said, what have you done? He said, Lord, the five little old things you give me, here's five more. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Because thou hast been made faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler, 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 ruler. And he ain't talking about a yardstick.
Amen. That's good.
Ruler!
Amen.
What do you want from God? What do you want on the other side?
Amen.
Come on now, as Brother Fletcher would say. Do you think that I am working for God? For that big house sitting over in that field over there, if you all believe that, you are all dumber than a big box of rocks, and you're all the rocks, buddy. If you think I count that my chief joy, son, you are nuttier than a fruitcake, buddy. Hi, oh, yes, sir. I'd rather be a beggar sitting by the road and know my Lord in the free pardon of sin.
Amen.
Somebody said, what talents can a beggar have? Well, you're looking at a beggar.
Amen.
Huh? He'll make you ruler. Ruler. Ruler.
Amen.
Trouble with us, we can't get our eyes off of the benefits to the blessings.
Amen.
Off of the earth, off of the world into eternity, folks.
Amen.
We're obligated to be faithful. We're obligated to follow Him and obligated to be faithful to Him.
Amen.
If we are negligent and fail to use what He gives us for His benefit and glory, we become unprofitable and are cast into outer darkness.
Amen.
Now, what are we doing? Huh? Who's going to cut it? Somebody said, you ain't preaching. Oh, I think I am. What are we going to do about them tracks that I want cut up back there? What are we going to do about this grass that's about waist high out here already? Somebody said, oh, that's your job, is it? I don't find that in the bylaws and the Constitution, and I sure don't find it in the Word of God. When this church called me in 1987, they didn't say anything to me about cutting grass. They said, Pastor. We need the floor out there scraped in that building up yonder. You see, our problem is, folks, that we want the rewards. And we don't mind taking the talents and using them if they're talents of great ability.
But God said He'd give to every man according to his several ability. And look here. Look here.
The lowest man on or woman on the totem pole may not be one of the most comely members, but I'm going to tell you what, buddy, you can't get by without it. Lose your big toe. Hey, ain't nobody ever looked at your toes. You wouldn't want to see mine. I've got that mess that's eating them up. My toenails is rotten. They're crumbling up and cracking and falling. You wouldn't want to see them. And they're not very pretty for Brother Hall to look at. But I'm going to tell you what, they do add to my balance. Cut one of them off or both of them and you'll see old Brother Hall wobbling. I don't understand how one toe can be used to balance the body, but I'm here to tell you, if you ain't nothing but a great toe inside a sock, inside a shoe that nobody ever sees, my friend, you are the balance of this body of believers. And it's for certain none of us wants to be the nose, because there's so much stink always going on. It smells like high heaven. You wouldn't want to be that. Huh? Faithful. We're obligated to follow Him. We're obligated, my friend, to be faithful in our stewardship. And I want to close with this, and I'll be a few minutes on it now, so just hang with me. We're obligated to be fruitful in our spirit. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. He feedeth among the lilies. And because He is mine, and I am His, I'm obligated to be fruitful. Very fruitful in my spirit. He said in John 15, He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And He went on to say, and my Father, I am the vine, my Father is a husbandman. Get this now. I want you to get this. Hey, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Somebody said, oh, well, He just puts us out of the church. Do you know what that word take means? If we do not bear fruit, the Bible said He takes us away. Now, if we're a branch and we're unfruitful and we're attached to the vine, my friend, if we are abiding in the vine and there's no fruit, I'm going to tell you what He does. He takes it away. You know what that word take away means? It means to lift up, to rise, or to sail away. Now, I'm going to tell you, God does not allow talented folks to sit on pews. And if you're saved, He's given you talents. He does not let talented people sit on the pews and become unproductive and just sit there as a withered branch. He takes it away. Somebody says, what do you mean takes it away? If you're saved, you're going to glory. You are going to glory. Do you hear what I said?
Amen.
He taketh it away. He taketh it away. He taketh it away. He sails. It sails away. He lifts it up. He raises it up. It's gone.
Amen.
God's not slothful like we are in the vineyard, buddy. He don't let old dead snarly branches lay out there and make it ugly and unseemly and uncomely. Oh, no. He just cuts it up.
Amen.
Takes it away. Lifts it up. Somebody said, what are you doing, Brother Hall? I'm trying to get our church as a body, as an organism, working productive in God's service.
Amen.
It does not bear fruit. He takes it away. If it bears fruit, He purges us that we bring forth more fruit. That's what He said. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. I want everybody to look right up here and don't dial me. Now, I know I'm just talking, but and it's kind of, I understand how the Spirit is this morning. But we preach it. We preach it. I know how Spirit is. He purges it. How do you think He purges it? But how does He do that? I'm going to tell you how He does it. Can I just use two or three of you as a little illustration? Lorna!
I have been bitter over some of the people in the church about my children. More fruit. Lord, I have done such and such. More fruit. Lord, I have been bitter. More fruit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He purges it that it brings forth more fruit. And it's purged by confession of sin. That's why some of you in here ain't got an ounce more fruit now than you had 5 years ago. Because you're still hanging on to them same old sins that's beset you and held you back, and you've made up your mind you ain't going to spit them out and get right, and you're just as barren, blessed God as you can be. I was preaching over at Brother Griffiths the other day, and I hit on prejudice a little bit. And there's a fellow sitting out on my telling you, he's a black guy, and I'm going to tell you, a white flag just said, whoop, and I told him, I said, buddy, a white flag just rose up on you, son. I'm not about a preacher. I ain't cutting no corners, folks. Hey, I may not have long to go, son. Well, I felt my body sitting there in Sunday school. I don't know how much longer I got to go, and I'm going to skin high and let her slip and flip. That's right, and purge all I can. What time I got? That's right. You will never bear fruit until you are purged, and you are purged through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and confessing your sin. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell some of you right now, go back to it. Go back to those things you confessed. And I'm going to tell you what you are. You're a dog licking your own puke. You're lost. Saved people don't confess sin and go back to it. That's right. I'm just here to tell you that's the bottom line, folks. God's trying to do something in here, and we come in this morning dragging hind leg, bless God, like we got dead life falling off of us. I'm here to tell you, son, God's about to get tired of it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. And I don't mind telling you. They sin in this church. If it ain't got right, I am fixing to excommunicate, buddy. Somebody said, you wouldn't. I'll do my best to get the job done. Purge!
Amen.
Every branch that beareth not fruit, if it's dead, withered without fruit, He'll take her away. If it bears fruit, He'll purge it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you get down where them scriptures meet the road, son. They just about put the mojo on people.
Yes,
just about identify folks for what they are.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. While I'm right there, just let me tell you this. We're having fun. Let's have some more fun. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of you got mad at Billy Ball in here on Tuesday night, the last message. And you will never be right with God till you get right with Billy Ball. Forget it. You ain't, son. You won't be. You puffed up like a toad frog. I saw it. Billy saw it. Brother Clayton saw it. You puffed up like a toad frog, sir.
Amen.
And you ain't going to be right with God till you get right with Billy Ball.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm telling you, buddy? God, hey, we are obligated to Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what are you trying to do? Show you where you are.
Right.
I want to be guilty of preaching everything, Robert, I can possibly preach in this church and making it just as plain and down to earth as I possibly can that people can see exactly where they are with God. That's right. That is right. And if His words abide in us, we'll bring forth much fruit. I don't have time to preach all this. I'm just going to mention it. But His Word governs and rules our lives. I'm obligated to Him. My beloved is mine. I'm His. His Word is to govern and rule in my life. If His words abide in me. Then I'll bring forth much fruit. And what is that much fruit? Well, He said in verse number 12, He talked about love.
That's a pretty good fruit. He talked in verse number 11 about joy. That's a pretty good fruit. He talked about in verse 18 and following about the peace that God would give us. That's a pretty good fruit, love, joy, and peace. You can't improve on them three. That's the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. How about it this morning? Where is your obligation? Are you obligated to Him? I'm going to be honest with you. There's people that's more obligated to their employers than they are to Jesus. If you got 2 weeks of vacation, you ought to take at least two or three of them days during our camp meeting to be here, to be in the meeting, to scotch it, to work in the labor for it. You know that Jerome took off a whole week to be here in revival when Billy Ball was here. Now, I know some of you couldn't. I understand that. Some of you don't have vacation coming. Some of you ain't worked long enough. Some of you don't have it. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we are more obligated to worldliness than we are to Jesus. He died for you. He's your husband. He is your husband. Are you going to take those little talents He gives you and use them or not? Put it down here. Nobody won't know I got it. What are you hiding, this boy? Now, just sit here on the pew. Praise God, isn't it wonderful to be saved? What'd you bury? Hold, the bridegroom coming. Here, Jesus. Here's what you gave me. What did you do with it? Well, I knew you were an austere man, a hard man, and you reaped where you didn't sow, and so forth. And I just buried it. Thou wicked and unprofitable servant. Depart from me and be cast into outer darkness. What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing? Stand together. Are you following Him? Are you faithful with those things that He's given you? I'm not asking you to give me nothing. I'm asking you to give it to the Lord. And I didn't mention money. I mentioned you, giving you. I stayed away from some of those areas intentionally. What have you given to Him? My beloved is mine. Let us embrace Him. And I am His, for He hath embraced us. Father, thank You for the morning hour. Thank You for Your help, Your liberty. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Speak to me, Lord. And I thank You. Save sinners today. Give grace to every heart. Help us, I pray, to devote and dedicate, commit ourselves to Thee. For we are in a marriage agreement. The knot has been tied. It shall never slip. My beloved is mine, and I am His. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother George? Page 120. I don't even know if we need to sing or not. I wanted to tell you something, and I mentioned that I would, and then it slipped my mind. When these are finished praying, I want to tell you what it was. Just a minute. I'll take just another second. I've got to tell you this because God spoke to my heart sitting on that pew. And my heart broke when my master spake. While Brother Doug was teaching Sunday school, he taught out of the same passage of Scripture out of Matthew 25 that I used to preach it. And he was talking about our talents and using them for the Lord. And I wish this would have come to my mind while I was there, because it's really the bottom line that I wanted to get to. And the Lord said, "Thou art mine, all of you." God owns all of you, body, soul, and spirit. You're His. I'm His. All of me. Ever, all of me. If that's the case, I possess nothing that's mine. I have nothing. I have nothing. It's all His. And here's what the Holy Ghost said this morning. He said, "The Lord has your heart. Now He wants your body." Or somebody said, "Preacher, He's already got your body. You preach and so on." No, you don't understand. What if the Lord wanted your body? What if He wanted your body? That it might suffer an affliction or an infirmity for Him. Well, now, Lord, You can have everything I got, but don't You touch my body. It's His. Lord, don't touch my health. It's His. And I say this in love. Lord, You don't have a right to deprive me of a baby in my body. It's His. Lord, You don't have the right to give me a baby with spina bifida. It's His. I say that lovingly, the best I know how. And I sat there this morning. I don't want you to sympathize for me, but I had feelings running over my body and up through my head. I didn't think I was going to be able to preach for a minute. And the Holy Ghost said, "I just want to show you that your body's mine, and I want it to do with as I will." Can we really do that? They said that James Alexander Stewart, in the last days of his life, spent them in a nursing home in Asheville, North Carolina. And he would have the nurse to get him up every morning at 7 o'clock and dress him, and he'd eat a bite, and at 8 o'clock, he'd sat down in a wheelchair. And from 8 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he'd read his Bible and pray for foreign missions and for souls around the world to be saved. And a fellow that was at Brother Walton's with asked him, said, "Brother Stewart, why do you do that? You've done your duty. Why don't you rest and take the rest of your life and your days just to rest?" And he said, "Brother Brown, how can I rest this body when it's not mine to rest? It belongs to Him."
And everywhere you go in your body, you take Him with you everywhere you go. My beloved is mine and I am His. All that He possesses is mine, and all that He's given me is still His to do with as He wishes, including my body. And if my talent, if God has given me a talent, or you a talent, to graciously suffer for His name's sake, then what a glorious honor. He left us an example that following His steps is what Peter said. What a glorious honor He has bestowed upon you to allow you to do that. I appreciate you being here today, and if God will help me tonight, I want to look at His obligations to us. He is obligated to us. It's a two-way street. No, I take that back. It is a one-way street, and we're walking hand in hand with Him down it. What a Savior. I love Him this morning. I appreciate you being here and listening to me. Lord willing, we'll see you tonight.